Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave, the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program on Health Star Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. They say that there are only three types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. Join Dave and his guests now and every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Health Star Worldwide as they share practice tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help get you through this day so you can live your caregiver life more fully and abundantly. Now, here's your caregiver host, Dave Nassani.
From Los Angeles, a big LA welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I am Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, coming to you live globally through the world famous Health Star Worldwide Radio Network. Yes, folks, I'm the guy who's going to help you and guide you through this very difficult journey called caregiving. And guess what else we're going to do? We are going to talk about grief and loss here as well. I'm shortening my intro because some people thought it was too long. Anyway, grief has devastating effects it can have on all of us. It automatically throws us into this thing called the grief process. Ouch. And there's really only one way out of the grief process. You have to go through it. Can't go around it, can't go over it, can't go under it. You got to go through it. And hopefully we can help you through your grief and your loss if you feel like you're kind of stuck. Well, I just want to take this time now and thank my last week's guest, Jennifer Reeves, talking about the magic of service dogs. And you're going to love today's show. We have Laurel Collins, a feng shui. Did I say that right? Feng shui. You know what I'm talking about. Feng shui expert. And the topic of today's show is creating balance between giving and receiving caregivers. And unfortunately, my usual co-host, Adrienne Gruberg, founder of the Caregiver Space, just flew back from New York today, and her arms are very tired, and she is unable to be with us today. She was on vacation on the West Coast for a whole month. I got to actually meet her IRL. That's in real life, as they say. And she's a really fun person, and look forward to many more meetings like that. Okay, enough of that. Let's find our guest. Unmute everybody. There we go. Laurel, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for patiently sitting through all of our technical difficulties.
Thanks for having me on the show. I would think I was part of your technical difficulty, so glad we're here. Well,
you were, but you're the cutest technical difficulty we've ever had.
That's
on the
right.
Show. Wouldn't you agree?
That's right. Yes, I would.
Okay, thank you.
Engineer Blade in the lower left-hand corner there.
Hi, Blade.
And he's actually a caregiver as well. Involuntarily, as we all are. Nobody volunteered for this, right? Well, Laurel, thank you for coming on the show. Why don't you take a couple of minutes and just tell us a little bit about yourself. Who is Laurel Collins? And, you know, what is it that you do? Feng shui? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, it's feng shui.
So, I was right.
Feng shui. So I'm a decorator and a feng shui consultant, and I'm also a certified dream coach. And what I do is I help people to create their vision, and I use decorating and feng shui to create environments that support your goals and dreams. And that environment could simply be your desktop. Lately, I'm doing a lot of vision boards with adding feng shui to them, or it could be your whole house. And I bring a lot of attention to clutter and different things in your environment that could be keeping you stuck.
I have a lot of clutter. My name is Dave Nassani, and I am a clutter addict. Okay.
But there's good clutter and bad clutter.
Well, it's true there some clutter is good because that's actually part of who you are. You know, sometimes you need to have some stacks of books or a few things because you like them. So I'm not giving you permission to have a lot of clutter, but a little clutter is okay.
What about that sign on people's desk that says, the sign of a sick mind is a clean, uncluttered desk? Is that not valid?
That is so valid. Like a cluttered desk, a cluttered basement, anything cluttered does represent a cluttered mind. It's hard to be really clear and focused on anything when you've got all this stuff in your environment. Even if you can't see it, your unconscious mind knows.
That's how I feel. You know, I can conquer mountains. I can ride my bike through the barrios of Mexico, up and down hills, but I cannot get rid of the clutter that seems to accumulate on top of my pool table. I feel so weak and hopeless, and I beat myself up over it because it should be easy to do that. Or, you know, like the dishes, not, this isn't my problem, but other people, they just let their dishes pile up in the sink, you know, and then and when it's time to, you know, they throw them all in the trash and they start all over again.
You know? Yeah, that's not a good one, the dishes. And But, you know, you can hire professionals to do your dishes or to get rid of your clutter.
Well, caregivers don't have that kind of money. What are you, crazy? All right, so we're talking to caregivers, burned out caregivers. So what advice can you give to them? What give us some narrative, because what do you know about caregivers, and why are you an authority on the topic?
Well, I have a special place in my heart for caregivers because I am also a caregiver. I'm not a full-time caregiver, but I have a 102-year-old grandmother that lives with my mother. And so my mother is pretty much the full-time caregiver, and I'm like the backup caregiver, we'll say. But I spend time with her regularly, and when my mom needs to take her time away, I'm the full-time gal. And so it's a really, really underappreciated role, I think. And so I really like to help caregivers and think of opportunities for caregivers to, what I think is the problem for burnt out caregivers is they're not giving themselves enough opportunity to receive. It's all about giving, and we're forgetting to receive.
Yes. Like I told you before the show, caregivers have no problem giving. They do that very, very well. But the receiving, and thus the title of our show, you know, it's like the yin and the yang. You got to give a little, got to take a little, you know, got to be a little selfish, got to be a little selfless. There's a balance, right?
I'm so glad you said yin and yang, because that's a big thing that we do in feng shui. We're really thinking about yin and yang because, yeah, everything is when it has to be equal. It has to be balanced. And so very true, caregivers, including parents, you know, people looking after their children, any kind of caregiver is generally so focused on taking care of other people that they do put themselves to the side. And so there's things you can do to remember yourself.
Yeah. So the very word burned out, you know, and some people would say fried to a crisp. Why do you think caregivers burn out? And have you ever burned out?
Well, they burn out because they're not making any plans for themselves. They're not taking their self-care into consideration. They're thinking that they have to be so focused on the other people that they're giving care for, because they need the care. They're not able to help themselves. So we take it for granted that we can help ourselves, but we don't do it. So the reason why the things that I've been doing to take care of myself is, one thing that I've just recently discovered is restorative yoga. So that's an opportunity to go and do something where there's nothing to do, but it's just to receive. Or, you know, making appointments for something that you need, such as a massage, like taking some time to think about what you need for yourself and then scheduling it in.
Yeah, you know, I'm the caregiver's caregiver, so if anyone should know this stuff, I should, right? Yet just last week, I was suffering with childbirth. I was trying to pass this kidney stone. I drove myself to the ER in the middle of the night, and everyone said, "What are you, crazy? Why didn't you call me?" I said, I don't want to wake you up in the middle of the night, tell you to drive me to the hospital, and then you'd have to wait there, or who knows, you know, take me home. And I just couldn't do that. I'd rather risk driving myself through the pain of childbirth, you know. And then it happened again 2 days later. The pain was too much. The medication was enough. But this time I called 911, had the ambulance take me. Mm-hmm. Why didn't I call my neighbor? Why didn't I call my daughter? Because I didn't want to bother them. Now, what's wrong with me, Laurel?
Well, I hear you. That happens all the time. But the thing is, what you have to remember is how much joy and how good it makes you feel when you can help somebody else. So you have to remember that you need to give other people a chance to help you. It makes them feel really good. So that's where the yin and yang comes in. or as good as you feel giving, even though you can get burnt out because you didn't start to ask for your own help, but it does make you feel good to be able to help other people. So give people opportunities to help you.
But how do you know you're asking the right people who, because, you know, what we fear is like, because you've been asked a favor and it's like you say, oh God, I don't want to do this. How do I say no? You know, and that's what I'm afraid of. I don't want to put someone in an awkward position, especially a friend of mine. You know, and maybe the relationship isn't such that I can say, hey, you know, if this is not a good time, let me know. I've got other people I can call or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of people worry about that sort of thing. Am I going to be imposing on somebody? Is this the right person to ask? What will they say? And I like to think about just the more people that I can help get what they want in life, the more chance that I will have to get what I want in life. So give more people the opportunity to help you. Awesome. And if they say no, then just go to the next person. But you have to put it out there. You have to ask. And that's the big thing that I've really been learning. As you know, Dave, because you were there when at an event where I really learned how you don't get what you need unless you ask.
and
you can ask 911, but that I think that's a little expensive.
And like the Stones have taught us so well, you can't always get what you want. You try sometime, you get what you need.
Well, and that's true, because you might not always get what you ask for, but you will get what's right for you in that moment.
All right, so I gave you some opportunities, examples. Give me some opportunities to receive that you haven't already met.
Okay, so just going and doing something for yourself, like maybe going to join a choir. If you like to sing, like go just like taking some music and just let yourself just do something like that, like something like singing. I was talking with another friend of mine and I was asking her what she would offer a caregiver. Her grandmother was a caregiver to her grandfather for many, many years. She said, I would say to do something for her feet. So try and think about doing something for your feet, because when like a massage or reflexology, because you have to remember that you're doing like twice the work. You're not just only doing your running around and leg work. You're doing someone else's leg work often cases too. So it's kind of symbolic. Do something for your feet.
I totally agree. But I can hear caregivers screaming at their computer right now.
Yeah.
I have no money. I have no time. I have no help. How do I do that?
Okay, well, you know what? I'll tell you how you do that. You go buy a little ball, very inexpensive, just even a tennis ball, or you can get one of those little foot rollers, and you can just rub your feet on the little ball. And if you could just give yourself 10 minutes to just receive some, you know, energy from that little ball or that little foot massager, honest to goodness, you don't need to pay somebody to do this for you. You need to give yourself the time to just sit there and do that and put that in your schedule, 10 minutes.
Or maybe they've got that back vibrator that's been in the closet for
27
years and they've never used it. So that's the true meaning of self-care, taking care of yourself. You don't need to necessarily hire somebody. You don't need to necessarily leave the house, although those are nice. And we can talk about later the practical things we can do to set up for leaving the house. Because it takes organization, right? It takes a list, delegation, and all those things. And I'm sure you know everything about that. But we can do it ourselves.
We can do it ourselves. And so that's where you have to take a little bit of time to think about what is important for you. What would make you feel good? Is it your neck? You know, is it some creating some rituals for yourself? But think about what would be important for you that it doesn't cost any money.
Tell me, do we need any special spaces in the home to do special things with?
Yes, I think everybody, including all caregivers, need to create some sort of a little sanctuary. Just, and even if it's just like for myself, I'm creating one right on a little shelf beside my bed. So when I get out of bed and I turn and I can have a little sort of altar just something where you can just take a few moments to just retreat into yourself and just give yourself a little bit of time to check in and creating a sanctuary. And if you've got the luxury of a larger space, a reclining chair, I mean, it could be anything, but deciding that a certain area is your sanctuary and allowing yourself some time every day in that space.
Yeah. And
do you have a sanctuary space, Dave?
I do. You know, I watched that movie that was out a couple of months ago. War Room, I think, was the name of it. And it talked about having a prayer closet, just a little tiny spot. Yeah. And so I made this little recording studio for me so that my voice doesn't echo all over the place. And after I saw the movie, I says, you know, my closet, my wife took over on my closet, so I can't be in a closet. What can I do? What can I do? And so I says, well, I'll do it in my recording studio. Now, you can't see, but maybe I can show you. I have got stuff all over the place here, you know, stuff that I pray about, stuff that pictures of my family and so on, that I can come in here and meditate, and I can pray, and I can just intercede on behalf of all these people who are all around me.
Yeah.
And that gives me peace. I also just bought a sauna for $1,000. I've been wanting one for decades, and I've never seen them this cheap before. And there's a new technology called infrared. So that's another place that I go to pray and listen to, you know, soothing music, etc.
That's great. I'm glad that you got an infrared sauna. And it's so in this sanctuary, what you need to have. So you just showed us some things that you pray for and with, and so that's really important. It's to think about the kind of things that ground you, like to, you know, when you get all chaotic out there in the crazy world, and you need to have certain things that bring you back to, you know, some peace. For me, it's roses and some pink quartz or something like that. So taking some time to find out what gets you settled and grounded and, you know, back down to the ground, so to speak. If you can't get out into the earth and put your feet in the ground, you know, what? How can you do that in this little space in your environment?
Yeah. As I get older, you know, my limitations are getting more and more. I'm 62. I feel like I'm 82 sometimes. But I used to walk a lot, and that used to really relax me. But now, you know, there's arthritis in my toes, and now I have a herniated disc in my back, and I can't walk anymore. I used to swim, and the water is just too cold now, and, you know, $300 heating bill if you want to heat the pool, and other things. I used to sail. That's too painful now, and so there are things. I used to love driving to the beach and just, you know, walking on the sand. Can't do that anymore. So you just have to improvise. You know, you can either hide your head in the sand and say, woe is me, you know, I'm getting old, wow, man, you know, bummer, or you can be creative, right?
It's about being adaptable for sure, and it is about being creative, and that's where connecting with other people and having something like a support group for caregivers or some kind of community where you could exchange ideas, like your radio show. It's a perfect way to get some ideas of how to adapt to those changes.
You said the magic word, support group. That is essential. You cannot make it as a caregiver or any illness, cancer, stroke, you name it. There are thousands and thousands of support groups out there now that we have the internet. You know, they were hard to find before. You'd have to pick up the phone, and then you'd have to go there and see if, you know, it fits your personality. My wife had a stroke 20 years ago, and it took a while to find one for her. But now there's literally an online community that just comes out of the woodwork to help out, because it's nice to know that other people are going through stuff. You're not the only one in the world, because we tend to isolate ourselves. Well, listen, we're up on a break, so let us take a break for a couple of minutes, and we will be right back. Thanks.
Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and tune in to Dave, the Caregivers Caregiver radio program on HealthStar Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. With roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, it's about one-third of the population. That means everybody probably knows somebody caring for a loved one. They say that there are only three types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. mothers of special needs children, family members caring for elderly parents, spouses, siblings, or friends caring for disabilities such as Alzheimer's, dementia, cancer, stroke, heart disease, diabetes, muscular dystrophy, AIDS, autoimmune diseases. The list goes on. Join Dave and his guests every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on HealthStar Worldwide as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. You'll start feeling better in no time as you begin to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help you get through the day and to live life more fully and abundantly.
And we're back with Laurel Collins. What's so funny?
If I knew Laurel was on, I would have showered.
Who said that?
That's so funny.
Okay, come on. I'm still new to Blab, so I see all this activity going on the right side, and it's like, oh.
Yeah, it's kind of distracting. There's all these places to look. But you did press record, so that's good.
Yes, I almost forgot, but because you didn't remind me, but that's okay.
I looked and I saw it was on. Yeah.
Now, goal setting. Let's goal talk setting. About goal setting. Some people don't like goals. Why don't people like goals?
Well, maybe because it means they'd have to become accountable and make these things happen. And also, it seems hard. Like what? Like, do these have to be like some really big, serious goals? It does can seem overwhelming. So what I've been doing recently in about the last year is these feng shui vision board workshops. And so instead of just saying, okay, this is my goal, we just go through and rip out pictures out of magazines and then we talk about why that means something. And so it's an easy way to just look at some things like a visual of things that you want in your life and then think about what that means and how that could be a goal for you. Because we all have the standard goals, you know, health, wealth, you know, but breaking it down into, okay, what does that look like? It seems like a big job, but it's important. As a caregiver, you need to know what you want so that when you're sitting there, maybe biding your time at certain moments where you're just, you know what I mean? There's those times when you're just sitting there and you can't help but sometimes feel like, oh my God, I'm just wasting this time right now. Like, well, I could be doing something else. But having a clear set of goals somewhere where, you know, where you can see them, where you can just be reminded that you are on track. This is part of your plan. This is part of your goal, is to spend this time as a caregiver. And knowing that you have some systems in place for your other goals outside of caregiving.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So give me an example of what you think some caregiver goals would be. I mean, you're a caregiver. But like you said, you're a part-time caregiver. There are caregivers who have it really, really bad. You know, they have no time. They have no freedom. Maybe they're dealing with a spouse who has Alzheimer's and they don't know them anymore. They're abusive. They curse at them. They don't appreciate them. Mm-hmm. They walk all over them. They disrespect them. They poop on the floor. They got to clean it up. They don't even appreciate that. So these people are like the fried to a crisp that I mentioned before. And like they listen to us and all this, you know, we're candy coated this and cookie cutter solutions. And some of them get pretty upset with me.
Yeah. Because and I'm sure with me,
they think I don't understand how bad their situation is, but yet it doesn't matter how bad your situation is. You have to take care of yourself. Okay, this is survival. If you don't mind committing suicide, hey, you know, I joke around, take a gun. It's faster than this slow suicide, this slow torture. You know, the Bible says all things work for good. I mean, everything happens for a reason. If you're in this nasty, nasty place, there's a good reason for it. I know it's really hard for someone to receive that because there's nothing good about this. Well, I know it's hard to see that, but good always comes from it. But you still have to, you know, I'm reminded of the silly story about a little boy who was just an optimist. And people always made fun of him because he was always optimistic, even in light of overwhelming obstacles. I mean, look at Donald Trump. Whoever thought he'd be where he is today, right? Mm-hmm. But He was in this barn. He was told to get rid of the manure, you know, shovel the manure. So he went out there, man. He was enthusiastic. He's shoveling like there was no tomorrow. And somebody asked him, why are you so excited about shoveling manure? And he says, with all this horse crap in here, there's just got to be a pony under this stuff somewhere, you know. And so there are ways to open your creative mind to do what you said, you know, take a moment here and a moment there and you know, find ways to get help, find ways to get respite, a 10-minute break, a 30-minute break, a 1-hour break, you know.
Start with 2 minutes.
2 minutes would be good. Some people would die to have 2 minutes worth of respite.
Well, I think what you started saying at the beginning here is that it is really hard for people to hear this and to believe that it could be any different, but it is what the way it is for a reason. And it is your responsibility to make your mental health a priority, because if you can't be like the, at least, you know, as close to the best you can be for yourself, it's really, really hard to be the best for someone else. And it's going to take its toll on both parties, the caregiver and the person that you're caring for. And so even just acknowledging that you are important and you will give yourself starting with 2 minutes in your little sanctuary, which might just be a picture on the wall, and just give yourself 2 minutes, set your timer, and then maybe next week make it 4 minutes and just give yourself that time. And there's so many little things you could do just in the small amount of time.
Yes. What would you, as a fried to a crisp burnout caregiver, do in 2 minutes? How would you take advantage of 2 minutes?
Scream at the wall.
Vent, breathe. Yeah. Okay, those are good.
You know, you could, or I really, really like to just write, not particularly a journal, like today I whatever, but just like all that crazy, I think they call it a brain dump. Just write all that crazy stuff that's going on in your head. Just write it and write it, and then just like
unfiltered.
Just unfiltered. It doesn't make any sense. You're never, ever going to read it again. But you know how that mind chatter goes? You write it out as the mind chatter. And yes, it's actually a good clearing exercise. So if you did that for 2 minutes, ultimately 20, that would help a lot.
I've heard one person refer to that as flushing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pulling the lever and flushing, getting rid of all of that stuff.
So that's something that I learned when I read the book called The Artist's Way. And you're supposed to do that 20 minutes every morning, like as an exercise to clear your brain so that you can just have more clarity about what you want. And so I like to do that. I like to recommend that. And yeah, it's a great way to get rid of all that junk in your head.
Yeah. And for those of you who are listening, you know, this too will pass. The Bible says that as well. You're not going to always be in the situation you're in. It could end tomorrow. You know, it could end today, or yeah, it could end in a week or a month or a year. But the point is, it's going to end. This is not permanent.
And also to tell yourself that this is such an important role. Like, yeah, we just had the Academy Awards. The supporting character always gets an award, right? You are playing the supporting part in a life, and I think it's a great role, and I think you should give yourself an Academy Award.
And the winner is. So you and I spoke earlier, Laurel. We were talking about the bedroom. Okay. So yeah, what would you suggest for the caregiver's bedroom? This abode, this domain, this sacred sanctuary of a place. And what should they do about their bedrooms? And are some bedrooms just destined to sabotage their success?
Yeah. So bedrooms, especially, you know, with keeping feng shui in mind, are a huge thing. And I used to sell bedding, so I'm a bit of a bedding expert. Okay. But if you don't have a good night's sleep, that's going to impact your day. That's going to impact everything. You really need to make sure you're getting a good rest. So it would be nice to have a bedroom that wasn't also serving as a fitness center and an office and, you know, the pet zone. Although if you do have to have those items, you know, treadmills or TVs, computers in your bedroom, cover them at night. So try to eliminate power cords, or if you have that kind of thing, switch them off at night. You need it to be a restorative environment, because this is especially essential for a burned out caregiver. You need restorative time every night. You need to get as much sleep in as little amount of time, probably. And so having a really comfortable mattress and making sure that the curtains close completely, that you can have blackout, just kind of sensible things. It's not like crazy stuff. It's just, think about it. Is your bed comfortable? You know, is the light streaming in? Do you need some earphones? Things like that. Just make sure that your space is for the purpose of restoration and not for the purpose of fitness and office.
Yeah, and I might add also, because, you know, caregiving is a lot like parenting, because you have children, and so many parents have issues with putting the child to bed and the child getting out of bed, the child wanting to sleep with you, stuff like that, the child wanting you to sleep with them. And, you know, many experts agree that it's probably not a good idea to just let the child have their way during bedtime. You know, you have to say, no, this is bedtime and this is how it is. And a lot of caregivers complain to me that they won't let me leave the room. You know, it's bedtime, it's midnight, and I have to sit in a chair alongside of them until they go to sleep. And if they wake up in the middle of the night and I'm not there, they go crazy. So in my opinion, if you can't do it yourself, you can get help to figure out how to make your loved one, even if he's difficult, even if they have dementia or Alzheimer's or other diseases that don't make it easy, to allow you to have your proper rest in your room, you know, use a baby monitor or whatever if you have to. But any ideas on that, how they can help facilitate, you know, the problems with their loved one demanding that they not sleep in their own bed or whatever?
Well, that's a tough one.
Tough questions.
That is a tough one, because like you said, in some instances, they're the person that you're caring for cannot even comprehend what you're trying to ask them.
So that, you know, maybe we can talk to the doctor and say, listen, I need my sleep. Is there something you can give them that will help them sleep, that will help them sleep through the night, or will help them be less anxious? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, so if this is the problem, if that the person that you're caring for needs you in their room for a lot of the night or all of the night, then I think it's time to look at creating some sort of strategies where you can change that. Like you said, talk to the doctor. Yeah, I would never want to recommend you set up your own bed in there. If you had to sit there for a certain
no
amount
sanctuary.
Of time, no
sanctuary.
And like we just said, your rest is it's paramount. Like if you're not getting a good sleep, at least, of course we say 8 hours, but chances are a caregiver like that's not getting 8 hours. Do you think, Dave? Do you think?
I can hear them laughing through the,
I kind of don't think so. So you do need to make that a priority. Of everything else, I think sleep is number one, then the foot massage. But yeah, do what it takes, create a plan of action of what can I do? How can I negotiate with the person that I'm caring for to be allowed to get that time? Because everybody's going to have a different reason or a need, and it's going to be up to the individual. But it's important, really important.
All right, so the bedroom. What about these things I see in doctors' offices now? They have little waterfalls. They have aromatherapy. Does that really help?
It does, actually. Waterfalls aren't a good thing to have in the bedroom because you might have to end up running to the bathroom all the time just with the sound of water. Those are really good in feng shui for other things, but not for in bedrooms when you're trying to sleep. Definitely, like diffusers, if you're using them with essential oils, but you only want to be using things like that with real healthy oils. Otherwise, you could be actually damaging your lungs, or, you know, there's toxic stuff in a lot of that stuff. But yeah, that's a great suggestion to get something like that, a really healthy diffuser with essential oils that would help. Lavender is good for sleeping. They all have different properties of how they can help you. But be careful.
Yeah, I have one, and they're supposed to be really high quality. So I should start doing the lavender in my bedroom. It'll help, because my wife has insomnia. That lavender will really help her sleep, huh?
Well, lavender's Lavender is pretty good, but I think there's some even better things that you could probably find, and I can't tell you what they are right now. But if you go back to where you got that diffuser, if, as you say, it was a really nice quality one. I'm sure you could do like a little combination of oils, and not everybody likes lavenders. I put a bunch of lavender on my pillow one night, and it like I was awake. So you have to be careful with the amounts that you use. And
yeah, and they make blends too. And I think I remember some saying, here's the sleep blend, and here's wake up blend, and here's the healing blend, and all
you need to get the blend. And like, there's really no size fits all of anything for anybody. So for
burned out caregivers, it could be as simple as go getting a diffuser with some proper essential oils to help you, or the loved one who has trouble, you know, calming down, maybe putting a diffuser in their room or whatever.
And it could be different ones. It could be. And what that does too is that actually creates a ritual. So, and that's where I say creating rituals for yourself, where now it's the ritual of bedtime, and we turn on our diffuser, and we start to go through a little process of the bedtime rituals. And so those are the things that, as the beautiful living coach, as I call myself, I like to add these rituals into everything that we do in our, that could normally be mundane, but, you know, having your cup of coffee in a beautiful cup and just taking that, you know, minute to, and, you know, make it special. Just finding some special moments.
And by the way, this also works if you're a parent of young children.
Absolutely. It does. So I love to do that. Just creating just little small appreciations.
Okay. Good for rituals. Rituals are good. Is journaling important?
Yes. Well, journaling is important. And like we sort of talked about a little bit, if you can take the time, it's really good. I would definitely start with the brain dump before the journaling. And then I think journaling is the next level to move into, where you can take some time to start asking, you know, some questions and some writing, and then letting yourself write out some answers. Or just, I think journaling is really, and also gratitude, because you,
attitude of gratitude.
Part of that journaling should be gratitude, and you should be taking time at least to be thinking about what you're grateful for. But if you can take the time to write it down, even better, because it's so easy to focus on what you don't like, and you really need to take the conscious effort and time to focus on what was good today, what was good in the last 10 minutes. Or, you know, gratitude is number one. I love to always talk about gratitude.
Do people who journal ever read their journals?
I guess some people do.
And some don't.
Some don't. Some people keep them and then refer to them, because there's a lot of great information there. Mm-hmm. When you go back and you want to remember, whatever, some great, brilliant idea that you had.
Yeah.
I always think I'm going to read mine, and I never do. Just keep writing more and more and more.
Yeah.
But it's up to the individual, whatever feels right to you. Maybe you don't have time to go back and read them.
Yeah. Now, are there things in their environments which can have maybe a negative impact that we need to get rid of?
Yes, definitely. I'm so glad that you are asking me that, because
these are loaded questions, because you and I spoke before. I don't want the audience to think that I'm psychic and that I'm so brilliant. These are questions that I asked you. Can we talk about what you think caregivers need to hear? And so I just wanted to give you the credit for these excellent questions. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Well, because what I do as a feng shui consultant and decorator is look at the environment, what's in it, because I think I already said that every single thing in your environment is attached to you with an invisible cord, and it's giving you a message. It could be a positive message. It could be a neutral message, but it could be a negative message. So you could be sitting in a room with this person that you're caring for, and you could be looking at something all the time that's reminding you of some memory from the past, or just something that triggers you. And so I like to work with people to help them go through their environment and see, you know, am I getting good messages? And especially if somebody that you're looking after has had an accident or something where they're just not the same as they used to be. And if there's just a negative old memory to how life used to be, and now you need to be focusing on how life is, then you need to acknowledge that, and, you know, maybe you need to move that out.
And it could be something as simple as photographs of painful situations, like a deceased spouse or whatever.
It could be that. And
or Christmas trees.
It could be absolutely anything. It could be like a vase that was they gave you as a gift at one point. Like, you just never know. That's where just taking some time to open up your eyes to what is in your environment, because we get so bogged down in just like focusing on this task right now. So we need to open up our eyes to everything that's around us and just make sure that it's giving us a positive message and making us feel really good, or at least neutral, but not negative. We don't want negative stuff.
Well, the time is just really going by. We have another break we need to take. So we will be right back. Don't go away.
One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is a touching story about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resembled that of both a Martha Stewart and Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on her right side. She met her husband Dave 21 years earlier. They had a wonderful fairy tale storybook-like courtship that soon culminated in their marriage. Charlene had just come out of a marriage where after 10 years, she received two black eyes and a broken nose by her former husband when he came home high on speed. Charlene believed in no second chances of any kind for abuse, so she left, finding herself all alone in the world with her 5 and 10-year-old daughters, Cynthia Lorraine and Deborah Lynn. She started raising them by herself for the next 2 years. Then fate brought them all together. After falling in love with Charlene, Cindy, and Debbie, their love then produced Rebecca. They all had a wonderful, normal life for the next 20 years. But today, things are very different for everyone. One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is the amazing story of a woman's fight to survive all that life had thrown her way. Everyone who knows Charlene is thoroughly amazed at how she lives day by day, month by month, year by year, and with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that everything is going to be okay. Her faith in God is her foundation in this hope that everything happens for a reason and what doesn't kill her will make her stronger. She inspires everyone that meets her. Best-selling author Lynn Barrington says, "If you think you have it bad, read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story from the heart. It is inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light." 9-time Grammy and Dove Award recipient, the godfather of contemporary gospel music, Andre Crouch, says, "Charlene just won't let the promises of God go, and she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror. As the Bible states, you will be encouraged by her testimony, regardless of what you're going through." Order your copy today from the author's website, onearmoneleg100words.com. And Dave and Charlene will personally autograph your copy. Enjoy.
And we're back with Laurel Collins, and we're talking about creating balance between giving and receiving. You know, the Bible says that we are supposed to love ourselves as we love... No, I said it wrong. That we are to love others as we love ourselves. So if you see a problem when we're not taking care of ourselves, we're not loving ourselves, how are we going to love others if we're commanded to love them the same way we love ourselves and we're doing a terrible job of loving ourselves? It means we're going to do a terrible job of loving others. So it's like a vicious circle.
Mm-hmm. So very true. And that's why we were saying earlier, it's really your job is to make sure that you're taking care of your mental health and your personal and physical health. Like, you need to be taking some measures, even if just only starting in small increments to be the best you can be, so you can be better as your caregiver.
And I think caregiver Blade has a question he wants to ask you. What is it, Blade? It's the one you wrote out.
What did I write? What was I writing again?
Well, it's right there. Can you read it?
Things that give you
relief when you're burning out. But that's what she's talking about. When I wrote the question about 10 minutes ago, she answered it 15 times.
Am I repeating myself?
No. And
how's your
Go ahead, Dave. Yeah. Oh, I was writing for CJ's Family Store too. I was letting him know what we were talking about on the blab. Hmm. Things that give you relief when you're burning out. Yeah.
So what's going on in your caregiving world, Blade? Last we spoke, you had an issue and you took care of it. How are things going since? Any new issues with your next door neighbor caregiver?
No. You didn't know this,
wisdom
Laurel.
You can share with us,
Laurel. You didn't know, but you do a favor for somebody that's hurt or injured, and you know, dogs and cleaning, and before you know it, it becomes your job. And Dave and I have talked about this, and so what to do so they don't walk all over you and totally eat you up. So we had a good talk on the phone about that, and it helped. And you just have a nice, honest talk with the person it is, and we did, and things got better. You know, and I didn't have to stretch myself, and I didn't feel dreading that I was going to help my person like I was in the very beginning. And so that got a whole lot better. And then what made everything even better was that I moved.
So, when did you move?
So now you're completely away from there.
I am. So that's the update on that, Dave. Yeah, I moved a week ago. But so are you a caregiver if you have a 12-week-old baby? It's not the same thing, is it?
Every parent is a caregiver.
It's different. It's well, you're giving care to that little. It's a different, I guess,
dynamic.
Yeah, but you brought up a very, very good point, and so this is a really good thing to do before you even get yourself, whatever I'm trying to say here is that you need to set your boundaries. You need to create those boundaries ahead of time. So when you get up in the morning and you're going to go work with this person, whatever it is that you're doing, like it was with your neighbor, if you have very clear boundaries of what you will and won't do, and if you can just have that set up ahead of time, I think that really helps a lot. And that's what you just said that you did. This happened, and then you had to set some boundaries. And
that's what Dave said. Yeah. And that's what I did, and it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, boundaries are a good thing. And there's a great book out there for those who struggle with boundaries. I think it's called Boundaries. And it just helps you. You know, it's really not the other person's fault when they cross a boundary that you never drew. So it doesn't exist. It's invisible. They don't know it's there. And you can't blame them for crossing it. So it's really it's your fault for not saying, you know, graciously. You don't want to do it in a antagonistic way, but you say, hey, you know, I kind of feel funny about such and such, and I would appreciate it next time if, you know, you didn't cross this line. You know, I'm just weird that way, and don't take offense, don't take it personal, but you just let people know. Otherwise, they're going to keep doing it. You're going to keep getting upset. You're going to start building up resentment, and then you may just have to move to get away from the situation, which I'm sure Blade had other reasons for moving.
You know what? I did. But you know what I found out also is that when you're caregiving for somebody in their hurt, almost desperate world, it's so hard for them to really think about anything but their own self. So I can see why it gets to be such a terrific job.
Yeah.
And when all we do is think about them.
Yeah, and you can't blame them. I mean, when my wife had a stroke, she was very selfish, and she's not a selfish person, but it was all about her. You know, the world revolved around her, and unfortunately, that's the way it is with most loved ones because, you know, their life was stolen from them, and now they have to rely on somebody. And just imagine how you must feel, and that's where empathy and compassion and sympathy come in because it helps. It helps give helps you give people grace. What is grace? Grace is giving someone something they don't deserve, right? And what's mercy? Mercy is not giving them something that they do deserve. So caregivers need a whole lot of mercy and grace because, let's face it, God has given us all mercy. I mean, we all deserve death, and he didn't give it to us. That's mercy. And he showers great things upon us. You know, we live in a wonderful world. We just don't deserve it. And so that's grace.
So I think taking responsibility and for yourself and for your needs, for setting goals, for setting boundaries, for setting time, it is all about taking the responsibility for yourself. And incrementally, just making sure that you're staying then within those boundaries that you took responsibility to create.
Yeah. So where can a caregiver find a support group or a personal coach? Where would you suggest they look for their particular situation?
Well, I'm sure there's a million places to look, but I've been recently finding some groups through meetup.com.
Oh.
And also Facebook groups are kind of a easy, nice, you can find some private groups that you can get into. And so those are some things that I had thought of. And I definitely think having, not everybody can afford to have a coach, like you said, it's not really a possibility, but having someone that could help you through these, with some of these, creating the strategies, someone that's been through this, that could help you just create the strategies, create the boundaries that you need to create. And I would be someone that could help somebody with something like that. And, you know, I, like I said, have a special place in my heart for caregivers. And so...
Well, good. Before we end the show, which will be in just a few minutes, we'll make sure that we have contact information if somebody wants to employ you as a coach or to, employ some of your feng shui tips and advice, which I'm sure is on your website or whatever.
Yeah, on my website, free teleclasses, different things like that. Right. Just little tidbits of information that could help you to open up your eyes to what might be in your environment or what changes you could make or some little rituals you could create.
So what are the last plans that you would suggest for burnout caregiver that you didn't already go over? Their takeaway, their take home.
Well, I think if it's possible, a caregiver should always have some sort of a vacation planned, you know, with a goal to look forward to. I know how important that was for my mom after having all this time with looking after my grandmother, and she had this goal to look forward to have that breakaway where she could completely free her mind. So I would say if there's anything you can do, even if it's a weekend away to the city, half hour away, you know, if there's anything you could do to remove yourself completely, you know, make a little plan and have that as a goal, a reward to just the little carrot dangling.
Yeah. And that's very powerful. You know, the Bible says that without a vision, people perish. I mean, without hope, so many people survived the concentration camps of Nazi Germany because they had hope. There was a light at the end of the tunnel, you know, and they believed it. There was a movie out many years ago called Life is Beautiful, and it was in it was in French, right? And it talks about this this family that was taken to a concentration camp. They had a little boy, and they hid the boy during the whole thing, and they protected him you know, just guarded him from the guards and stuff and hid him. And this went on for years. And they kept telling him that this was a big game. You know, it's like the winner gets a tank and you just have to keep hiding. And when things got bad and he wanted to quit, they were reminded, well, okay, if you want to quit, you know, but you're ahead. I mean, you're that close to winning. And go ahead. Go ahead, and I'll tell him that, you know, you're tired and you want to give up. And he said, no, I'm that close. He said, yeah, you're that close, you know. And there's something in the human spirit that just makes us keep going, even when it's impossible. When if we didn't have that attitude, we'd just give up, you know. And mm-hmm. I love the picture where this gold miner is digging, and he's digging, and he's digging. He's that far away from the gold, and he gives up. So never, ever, this is what Winston Churchill told us this, never, ever, 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 ever give up.
It's true. And I love that movie. Life is Beautiful. Such a good movie. And that's, like you said, a vision. So if you can plan something for yourself, so not only having your goals, but also that trip and have those on your vision board, have those in your little sanctuary area so that you're looking at that regularly so that you have your plans in mind all the time. And you can keep reminded of what it is that you're creating right for yourself.
Well, tell us how we can get a hold of you, Laurel, and your website and your email and your phone number if you want, all of it.
Well, I have two websites right now. I have to kind of get rid of one of them. But my new website is laureltcollins.com. And my email is Laurel.
Collins has one N.
1L, yeah, Laurel Tea. I put it on the chat here in the side. Oh. And so I have a couple of free gifts on there. You can find out 10 ways you can transform your life in 10 minutes, or you can find out how you can add some superpower to your desk with feng shui.
Free gift. Those are always nice.
I know, they're always good. And they're handy ones too. You can check them out. And my email is laurel@thebeautifullivingcoach.com.
Great. Well, Laurel, thanks again for coming on the show. I learned a lot. I'm sure everyone else did as well. So look forward to seeing you again soon. And for those of you who are just tuning in, we're here every single week at 1 p.m. Pacific time on Blab and on the Worldwide HealthStar Network. So I also have a website myself, caregiverscaregiver.com. And if you go to that caregiver website, caregiverscaregiver.com, find out if you're a candidate for burnout. We're going to give you a free copy of my first book, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships, a story about my wonderful wife, amazing wife, and just for doing that. So you're going to find out if you're a candidate for burnout. We're going to give you solutions if you are, and you get a free book. That's just a win-win-win. So we will see you next week. And Laurel says it's a great book. Thank you. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program with Dave Nassani. Join Dave each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, or catch the program anytime, 24/7, right here on HealthStar Worldwide.